Welcome to the Pause Rhyme Play podcast. We're glad to be back with you as a full trio.
Let's go.
Yay.
Let's
go. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's been a while since we podcasted. It's been even longer since you've been on an episode of the pod. Well, I guess you were in part of that one episode.
I was in part of Spider-Man for literally like 15 minutes, I think. I don't know. It was a quick in and out.
Excellent 15 minutes.
It was good. I had a great time.
Oh, yeah, so that was only two episodes back.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a long time since we podded.
Yeah, it's
no, just, that was last episode.
That was the last episode, yep. But it's been a minute. Mm-hmm. Because we've done so much, and we've watched so much, and life has just happened, which is, you know, part of life and part of society, right?
I mean, I think that's the trend of the pod, right? It's like we take these long hiatuses while we make these life changes.
Guys, I picked up cycling, so I ride my bike for very long, boring distances, actually incredibly beautiful distances. I'm cycling around where Vince and I grew up and seeing it from a completely new angle, actually, which is really weird to say that. Like, when I'm on a bicycle, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I've driven all these roads hundreds of times over my lifetime. But being on a very slow, like, 15 miles per hour max bike, you know, unless I'm going downhill, I'm just like, oh, wow, this is very pretty and it's fun. So I picked up that and I've been waking up early in the morning and it's been terrible. I love it, but it's been terrible. So my legs have changed. They've gotten a lot skinnier. But anyhow, no, it's been a while and I'm sad that we haven't done it, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Yeah. But we got to do a quick catch up on what we've been watching. So I'm going to send it to Josh.
Oh, no, you sent it to me. There has been a lot that has been watched, and I'll have to just summarize most of these, but I was looking through my letterbox, and sheesh, I've been watching a lot of stuff since we last podcasted. This won't even be everything, but going through some of the main stuff, Elemental, I saw, and it was a great, solid Pixar movie. Like, I don't think that there was a reason that people had to, like, rush and go see it in the theater, but Elemental actually ended up kind of getting a lot of, like, hate. It was kind of hovering around, like, the 60-70% range on Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't bad, but people were just like, oh, it's Pixar, like, it's not as good. And I went and saw it, and I would agree that, like, maybe it's not as strong as one of those Pixar originals that's, like, really, really good, but it was a solid, solid Pixar movie that, you know, it's not that hard to make me do it, but it made me tear up. Without spoilers, it's not what you would think I would probably make me tear up, I guess. Because there's kind of two really sort of emotional-like parts as you get to the end of the movie. There's more, but there's a lot that has to do with her relationship with the other main character, Wade, and then there's also a lot that has to do with her family. And I didn't care about that much stuff with Wade, like this whole romance or whatever between fire and water that goes throughout the movie. It's not that I didn't care, but as far as like what actually got to me, the stuff with her family was a lot more emotional. So anyways, I said I had to go fast and I spent a long time talking about Elemental because Elemental was great and it'll probably be on Disney Plus here in a little bit. So
September 22nd.
There you go.
Oh, perfect.
So Elemental was great. All of Black Mirror season 5. Which was good. Like, there was a lot of hate on it, and I understood because I don't think that there was... there were good episodes. I don't know if there were any that were like, this is amazing, next level Black Mirror. No Black Mirror episode has been like this, but so many people were hating on so much, and there was only really one episode of the new season that I was like, I don't love this. And I hate to say it, Vince, but it was the one with Zazie Beetz.
Oh, bummer.
It was not great.
Which one is that one? Sorry.
That's Maisie Day. It's the paparazzi.
Oh, I loved that one, though.
There you go. Well, then you could go in blind. And
yeah, who knows?
See what you have you watched any of the new season?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
My favorite episode by far is Beyond the Sea. The,
yes.
The space one with Jesse. Aaron Paul. Yeah, with Jesse. And then Joan is Awful and... Let me see.
Joan is Awful. Also, what did they call it? Streamberry for Netflix? Like, they, mm-hmm. I feel like.
It's very meta, self-aware humor it's throughout it's the whole season.
Good stuff right there.
Cool.
So, Lock Henry also was really, really good.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so those three are tied for second. So, Beyond the Sea was my favorite. Lock Henry, Joan is Awful, and Demon 79 tied for second. And then.
How many episodes are on this new season?
Five.
I thought there was only three for some reason.
Nope.
Cool.
Five.
So just really quickly hopping on to you talking about this. Mm-hmm. This was actually my favorite part of Black Mirror. Actually, like my favorite season.
This season?
Yeah. And it's not because, and sorry to dig in and
no, you're fine.
Back off you. I liked it because it, like, there was a lot of, like, whoa stuff, right? Like, there was stuff like that, right? It was like, whoa. But it wasn't the same Black Mirror we've all come to know all the time. And
it's very new.
Yeah, very, like, different. So,
hey.
Hello, Mac. Nice to see you. Obviously, we have our podcast dogs available here. Not for rent, but just they're here participating. Mac also would like Vince to watch the new Thieves of Black Mirror. Yeah,
he has a lot to say about it.
But yeah, I liked it. It was different. And to me, I thought it was a, like, a really fun change of pace. That's it's how I felt about it.
Change of pace, a lot of meta humor. And I think I wrote in my review for one of them, I won't say which for no spoilers, but definitely some episodes are kind of grim, like kind of back to that Black Mirror, really like grim feeling. Like, well, because some of them aren't, and I don't know, just I feel especially like in season, because this is what, season five? I forget.
I can't remember.
I think it's six. And season five was the one with Striking Vipers and Mary Kate, or not, Ashley 2, whatever it was.
The
Miley Cyrus one, stuff like that. And it's like they were grim, but not like grim. Like there was parts of these ones where I was devastated.
Jarring.
Like it was crazy. And without spoil, because I would love to go further into it, and I might talk to Casey about it afterwards, but there's just moments that were really, really good in this season. So definitely a solid watch. You guys know I was hyped for it if you're watching any of our past episodes. So Black Mirror was great.
It was great.
I'll zoom through a lot of these. If you were following the podcast on Instagram, you probably saw I did a little triple feature in the theaters. I went and saw Asteroid City, Past Lives, and No Hard Feelings. Those were all great. Asteroid City, if you like Wes Anderson, you're going to love it. Very solid.
I love Wes
Has
Anderson.
A lot to say about grief and emotions, and it was just really good. Past Lives, one of my favorite movies of the year. It's got 4.5 stars. It's a really emotional story. Very A24, very indie feeling. I really, really liked it. And then No Hard Feelings, Jennifer Lawrence, R-rated comedy, little raunchy comedy that came out, and it was just solid. Just a fun time. Like, nothing crazy.
Is this the one where she's
level.
Like hired to be someone's girlfriend?
Yes. And okay. it was solid. It was a fun time. Just hilarious all around. I watched a lot of Pixar. I'm not going to list it all because I'm kind of redoing my Pixar rankings right now. Rewatch Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. Always a good time.
I forgot about that.
Oh, dude, I can never forget. It's like I was watching Finding Nemo. And as I went to watch Finding Nemo, I've got Disney Plus with ads. And I got a Rocket Mortgage commercial. And Felicia Day is doing Rocket Mortgage commercials. Oh, and I saw her face and I was like, pause this. I'm going to go watch Dr. Horrible Sigalog blog
have
first because it's bed too long.
Have you seen her her other web series that she did? The nerdy one? I can't think of the
no.
name of it. Like Mystic Quest or something like that? I can't remember the name of it.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Mythic and no, Quest. I haven't.
No, oh yeah, sorry. That's the McElhinney one. No, it's an old, like, I think it started as like an internet blog thing, you know, like an internet series. But it's really good, too. You should check that one out. I thought it was really entertaining.
100%. While I was in Texas, me and Cade caught Joyride, that comedy with Stephanie Hsu.
Yeah, I almost went to it.
It's pretty good.
Liked it?
I think I gave it 3.5 stars. Like, it was fun. There was definitely, like, weird parts. And it was, like, raunchy comedy. And at times, like, whoa, like, a lot. It wasn't anything next level or mind-blowing. But it was good. It was fun. It was funny. Stephanie Hsu was great. The whole cast was great. Yeah. It was a good time.
Cool.
And it was surprisingly emotional, I think, if I remember, like, what I wrote about it. It was good. It was, like, it's a solid movie. Again, not one that I'd say you have to, like, go see in the theater or anything like that. If it comes out on streaming, just that's a solid. Like, you'll sit down, and I doubt that you'd be like, this was a waste of my time. Mm-hmm. A lot of other ones that we talked about or that we will talk about, and then maybe we can pass it off to you with what you've been watching lately, Vince. The last one I wanted to mention was Mission Impossible. Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Yeah, we almost did an episode on this, but we had some stuff come out. Solid movie. Solid. Just like all the other Mission Impossibles. Have you seen it yet? Still no?
No. No.
It's good. It's worth seeing, man. I had the same problem with this one as I had with Indiana Jones. Our action blockbusters are too dang long lately. Like, this was a cool movie, and the practicality of all the stunts and stuff is so, so cool. But once you get to the third act, I don't think this is a spoiler because they have like the train in the trailers, right? Mm-hmm. Once you get to that really, really cool train scene, by then it's like 3 hours deep into the movie and I'm just kind of like, oh, this is still going. And that kind of played against it for me. We already had like three or four big action sequences that I absolutely loved. And I would have been way more hyped for that train sequence if I wasn't already 3 hours into it and just kind of thinking, I gotta pee. When's freaking Tom Cruise gonna jump off this cliff so I can pee? Oh, okay, we gotta do train stuff now. You know, kind of a thing. Like, I just got a little bit exhausted with it, which was kind of a bummer. But it is a great movie. I'm just not a big fan of the Mission Impossible series to start with. I think we've kind of talked about that before. I like them. I think they're fun. I don't think I've seen any past number three more than one time, though. Like, I think I've seen them all once and just forgot about everything. So a lot of the characters in this movie, I'm just like, I don't remember who the heck that is. I don't remember who the heck that is. Oh, I guess they're dating. I don't remember where she came from. Oh, she uses a sword. That's cool. You know, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to go there just for the spectacle of it all is definitely worth seeing. We saw it in IMAX, which was, I absolutely loved. Big IMAX fan. It's out of IMAX now, so I feel bad that you can't make that. But those movies are just like, they're made for the big screen, so go see it on the big screen, you know?
Made for the big screen.
That was actually the one I was, like, really sad about. Like, I was working, and someone's like, oh, like, did you have any plans for a night? And I was like, I actually did. Like, I had very cool plans with my friends. And they were like, oh, we're sorry to ask you to stay longer. I was like, it's fine, but, yeah, I wish I had went to the movie.
I told Vince this when we left the theater. It really is just all about those stunts and those action sequences. And at first, you got to that scene where, this also isn't a spoiler because it's in the trailer, and they released whole, like, videos about how they did these stunts or whatnot when Tom Cruise, you know, drives off the cliff and whatever. And they really did this stunt of him driving off of this ramp, off this mountain, and then letting the bike go and parachuting by himself, right? They released a whole video before the movie even came out about this stunt. And I watched, like, that video, and I was like, this is cool. And as it was coming up in the movie, I was like, this is cool, but I've already seen this stunt as a YouTube video, so I don't know if this is going to be that good, because I know what's about to happen. And then it happened, and, like, I guess, mini spoiler, the sound just kind of drops he jumps off of this cliff. And as it's going, I was like, wait, like, this is almost way cooler because I know that this isn't just freaking CGI. Uh-huh. That's Tom Cruise flying off of a cliff for real. And I was just like, whoa, wait a second.
It's so cool.
This is crazy. This is awesome. And also, Palm Clementif.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was Mantis.
I know, right?
So, like, I think a podcast pointed it out like a week afterwards. And I was just like, what?
Well, because in the movie, I did thought it was her, but it looked way different. And so I was like, I don't know.
And I've just seen a very stuff, different character, too. Like, going from that, like, happy, jokey Mantis to just this, like, badass assassin, you know? Like, she was great. She was so good in it.
Hot. I mean, she was great.
I was going to say, she's a beaut.
So Mission Impossible is great.
I have one more thing to say about it.
I was just going to talk about that stunt that you're talking about and how we've seen all the stories, right? Like, in the prefecture and everything, like, hey, there's the background behind it because it's real. And that's just like a marketing tactic to get you to want to be there, right? And that's what it is. But they harped on it so heavily, I feel like, during this whole thing. Like, oh, yeah, come see this because Tom did it for real.
That's pretty much the marketing for the last, like, three of the movies. Look what Tom did this time. Look what Tom does this time.
Because the one where he's, like, hanging out the airplane and they do the side-by-side comparison for, like, I remember seeing that for, like, 3 months before the movie came out. I was like, this is cool. I'm, like, CGI is cool. And I love how CGI has progressed. But so much of CGI has stepped backwards from, like, the early days of when they come out. Like, think about, like, early pirate stuff and, like, all that. Like, that was great for its time, but, like, their movies are still the exact same today. Mm-hmm. They haven't progressed and have done enough to work with it. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm snooty.
Well, and the CGI artists, I guess, are pretty stretched with the amount of movies that are coming out right now, I guess, is a big thing. And I don't know, there's a lot of reasons behind it.
Just give them a few months. They don't have much to write to do because the writers are on strike. Shout out to you guys on strike. Get your money. But I don't know. That's pretty crazy. What else you been watching?
New season of Sunny just ended this week. It was hit and miss. Must watch episodes are, I think it was episode 1 about inflation, where the gang battles inflation by buying inflatable furniture, which felt just like a return to form for like old Sonny, you know? And I also recommend watching the bowling episode. I laughed really hard at the bowling episode. And then the rest of them are kind of hit and miss, depending, you know. This usually happens to me with the new seasons that come out of shows where I'm just like, ah, it's not as good as the old stuff. And I think it's just mainly because I'm so familiar with those old episodes. And I'm just like, man, it's not the same, you know. but the more that I rewatch them, I'm like, oh, that's not as bad as I thought, you know. Finished Ted Lasso season 3. I just feel like that show just kept going downhill the more episodes that came out. I didn't really love season 2 and didn't really love season 3.
Season 2.
Loved season 1. Uh-huh. I just continually lost interest.
I'm not gonna judge her for that, but whatever. Oh, I'll judge. No, that's okay.
I was kind of happy that it ended with season 3 because I felt like it didn't overstay its welcome. You know, like season 3 ended, and I was ended. Just like, felt good. Oh, is it not ended?
Allegedly.
Oh, I thought that was the end of it.
Well, probably spinoff shows is kind of what people are, the main rumor, but it's just very all rumory right now.
Yeah. Okay. It's very, very swampy.
Okay.
In the rumor mill.
Swampy.
I don't even know if that's a thing people say.
Casey just had to get his Shrek reference.
Swampy. I wasn't even thinking about a Shrek reference.
Don't lie to me.
Don't. No, I don't know.
I'm going to fix that camera. You guys keep talking.
You're good.
Casey.
Yeah.
What have you been watching?
A little bit of everything, to be honest with you. I actually bought and started rewatching Mad Men again. Love Mad Men.
Of course.
I've been rewatching Stanley Tucci's Searching for Italy or Finding Italy. I can't remember the title of it. It's where he's going to Italy. You've been watching as well? So I own both seasons now, so I'd gladly loan you. I want that street, the internal one. That's what I want.
Go eat pizza and pasta in Italy and gelato.
Yeah. That's all I want right now, actually. Like, ever since we watched Luca and everything like that, I'm like, I got to go to Italy. And then I've been watching Martin Dullard still do Build His Cabins on YouTube, and he's in the north of Italy.
Oh, I found a good YouTube channel that you guys should check out. It's called Weird Food History. And it's just like 12-minute little like documentaries told entertainingly about like weird stuff. Like the first one I watched was about the KFC sandwich that was like chicken for buns on the top and bottom. Can't remember the name of it right now, but like
those are delicious.
About Little Caesars. Like anyway, sorry.
Interesting.
Martin Dullard Build His Cabin.
Check it out.
Well, they're stone cabins. You remodel them just a little bit every week. You know,
it's a
great little process. Then we also watched Black Mirror. Watch some more Love Island.
Did you guys see the trailer for the new Exorcist movie that's coming out?
That looks freaky AF. It played before Oppenheimer, yeah. So freaking in IMAX, that huge screen, that sound is how I saw that trailer for the
first
time.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if I can go see that movie. It's freaky.
I was surprised with how effective the trailer was. Like, I noticed the way that I was feeling by the end of it. I was like, I don't know if this movie's going to be any good, but the trailer, like, it started, and I was like, oh, okay, new horror movie. And then by the end of it, I was like, oh, okay, I'm starting to feel my heart race a little bit just for the trailer.
Barbenheimer. The spoil-free edition. Like, so what's kind of crazy is we're kind of split on who's seen. Josh has seen both films. Vince has seen Oppenheimer, and I've seen Barbie, because I am a Barbie girl living in a Barbie world. But
did you dress up?
Me?
Both of you? You get on your pink and get
yes.
in there?
I dressed up for both.
I didn't get in my pink. I don't have a pink thing. But because of us not seeing both all of them, we're just going to do Barbenheimer Light, spoil-free edition. Mm-hmm. Does that sound good?
L-I-T-E. Yep.
I also want to talk about the whole phenomenon that kind of went on with the whole Barbenheimer thing. I pitched this to you guys earlier. Yeah, like just it's just such a unique thing that happened with Barbie and Oppenheimer. And I was wondering, in your guys' opinion, has this been a positive thing, like in general, or a negative thing, or an impartial thing? Because like usually, I feel like the internet has to take a side, and it's like a fight. Mm-hmm. And Barbenheimer has been kind of the opposite, where everyone kind of banded together and loved both of these movies and upped both of these movies, right?
I would say definitely a little bit of both, if I had to be honest. So I did like the, I wouldn't say full, because I know a lot of people went super crazy, but I did the full Barbenheimer experience. My brother and I, we dressed in all black. Black hat, black jeans.
Did you guys have sunglasses?
We didn't have cigars. I didn't wear a fedora or a suit or anything like that. We just dressed it all black. And we went.
Pants to your nipples.
Did you not notice Cillian Murphy's pants in that world?
No, I didn't realize that.
They go up there, dude. They go up. But we went on Friday, July 21st. So because normally a Christopher Nolan movie, I would go like the Thursday, right? Because the day before where you have a few screenings, I would go for a Christopher Nolan movie then. But since we wanted to go see both, I took a half day off of work. And around 2 o'clock or so, me and my brother, we went to see Oppenheimer. And then Oppenheimer was done. We got some dinner really quick, just right there at a restaurant next door. And then we changed. And we came back.
Did you change in the bathroom of the restaurant?
No, actually, there was a little bit of time, and my parents' house isn't too far from the theater, so we ran by, changed really quick. My brother has this really bright pink shirt. I have my pink shirt that I wore last time on the podcast, the pink one with the leaves and stuff, and these shorts that are, like, no, they're like nice shorts. They're my golf shorts, and so they're a little nice, and green hat, and just we went to go see Barbie like that. And Barbie was really fun. Not like the movie itself, yes, we'll talk about it, but it was really fun because it was, you know, opening night for Barbie, and I think like 2/3 of the audience was all dressed up.
Well,
right?
Like I could not believe the amount of Instagram posts that I saw from my friends decked out in pink going to Barbie that weekend, especially the first night.
And that's like what was fun about it.
Yeah.
You know, like it was fun to go sit in the theater and have everyone be dressed up for it. And I'm not normally like a cheer for the movie type of people, but there were just a few times, you know, where Barbie pops up or something happens where people were cheering and I was like, yeah, this is fun.
That's
a
cool
room full of people that are into the movie. We've been waiting for this. It's really, really cool. So I think it was a really fun internet phenomenon. It was a super fun thing to do with my brother. I love that we did it and stuff like that. That being said, I don't know if I loved the actual double feature itself. Not because I didn't love the movies. I love the movies individually. Both of them have really strong themes and things to think about. And it was really, like, I would have loved, obviously I went and saw Oppenheimer, waited for a little bit, and we went and saw Barbie. I would have loved to sit with Oppenheimer and or Barbie for, like, the rest of the evening, the day or whatever, and just thought on those things and been able to do all that. And so doing it as a double feature was fun and it was a cool thing to do, but I don't know if I loved the actual experience of seeing both of those movies back to back and trying to process them kind of simultaneously at the exact same time, if that makes sense. I think double features, not to like jump too far ahead, but if we're talking about going further into, hey, other studios are probably going to try to do this or think about either pitting movies together or pitching movies together to go see both these movies as a double feature. I don't know if I love the idea. I think it could possibly work, but sorry. Yeah, I don't really have the words
this,
for it.
You know,
how do you recreate it?
I don't
it
think
it
it's as recreatable as everyone wants to think,
I don't
it,
think
is
it is.
Because
at all.
One's a Christopher Nolan film, one's a Greta Gerwig film, right? Mm-hmm. And so both of those directors,
S-tier directors.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are top-tier folks, right? Mm-hmm. And they're bringing artistic talent. And the decision to have both of those release and do it, because of the marketing that's been done on both of those, one is supposed to be like Sunny Day and the other one's supposed to be Darkest Night, in my opinion, right? It's kind of how it was, and that's why the black dressing up in all black, dressing up in all pink type thing. But I haven't seen Oppenheimer, and so I don't want to pretend like I know more than I do. But, like, I've watched a lot of the interviews that, like, Cillian Murphy has done, right? And where he's like, yeah, I read, like, the book, what is it, the Bhagavad Gita or whatever? I'm going to butcher that.
The one that Robert Pattinson gave to Christopher Nolan?
I don't know. Essentially, it's the one about, it's an Indian book about, like, essentially the destroyer of worlds and kind of, like, how that, like, can impact things. Like, him talking about, I'm like, that's freaking dark. And, like, recognizing, like, the nuclear bomb and, like, the creation of it was the thing that changed everything, right? And then you have Barbie, which is, we think about Barbie, we think about, like, ah, and the themes within Barbie are great and vast, and like it's food for thought. And then imagining that going to Oppenheimer, how's your mental state today?
I mean, it's been a little bit since I've watched the movies and stuff, but my mental state's okay. It's good. Definitely still a few things lingering from both of these to think about and go into, but, you know.
Yeah, because I just, like, my emotions after coming out of Barbie was like, woof, last night. Like, literally, woof. And your sister and I talked about it for, like, probably an hour and a half last night after the movie. Like, that was the conversation, so it's interesting.
So I got.
What do you? I was about to say. What are your thoughts? Yeah. Obviously, you kind of brought this up to us, and I like that you did. So, what are your thoughts on Barbenheimer and this idea?
There's a very specific reason why I wanted to talk about this, because there's a lot of positives, and then there's one extreme. I mean, it's not really that extreme, but something that bothered me really, really bad in my viewing of Oppenheimer. It drove me crazy. And then I got Bones. Home, and I got on the internet, and I saw a couple of things, articles going around. Apparently, there's a big Twitter debate going around on phone
you mean
use.
X debate.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry, but there's a big
the bird is gone, right?
The bird is gone. It's X now. Sorry.
I guess there's a big debate because a lot of people in Barbie were like pulling out their phones and taking pictures of the screens, and then there's a big debate on the internet about what's the proper etiquette with phones, and people are like, oh no, as long as your screen is turned down, you're not bothering anybody. As long as you have, you know, your screen turned down as dim as it'll go and your volume off, then it's not going to bother anybody. And then there's people like me that are just like, no, even that dim screen pulls me out of the movie, drives me crazy. And then there's people like on the outskirts being like, I see both sides, but like, look at you people policing everybody, you know, calm down, you know, kind of thing. So that was one of the things that drove me crazy, was just like, just the proper etiquette in movie theaters.
So you guys out there, what is the proper etiquette? Please let us know. What is movie theater etiquette? Phone out, dim screen, no sound, or whatever you freaking want. I don't know.
No, like, phone,
no phone
at all.
No phone at yeah, all. That's the question, pocket. Though. Like, don't what is it? Tell it us. Out. Tell us what proper movie theater etiquette is.
Yeah. Did you see the guy at Mission Impossible? I couldn't tell if you could because he was right in front of you.
I don't think so. Out.
I don't think so because, like I said, he was right in front of you, so... So you
so
couldn't
I probably
see
saw the
it.
Back of his head.
So you probably saw the back of his head. So you probably couldn't see because he just pulled it out and had it right here. But since I was sitting next to you, I could see it, and it was annoying me. And at first, when he was doing it, he was texting. And while I think that that's terrible and you shouldn't do it, if someone is texting, like in my mind, I'm like, I don't think they should be doing that. But I'm like, I don't know the situation. Maybe something serious is going on. Blah 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 blah. I'm not gonna say anything. And you know me, I'm super passive. Like I don't like. I know that you've said that you've, like, told people before in movie theaters, and I'm not about that. Later on in the movie, he got out his phone, and he was just clearing notifications. Just sitting on his phone, clearing his notifications. And I was, and this was during a huge part of the movie, and I was that close to being like, dude, put your freaking phone away. Mm-hmm. Are you serious right now? Because this was, like, the sixth time by then, and he was just, like, swiping off his notification. And I was like, are we serious?
Yeah,
right
why
now?
Are we doing this?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I was going to say, so that's like the behavior that drives me freaking nuts. If you're going to sit at home and like, I'm sounding holier than thou, I just want to highlight this, I'm sounding like a prick. But if you're going to pay like between $5 and $15 to go to a movie, why the fuck are you looking at Facebook? And I'm sorry, I'm just trying to not like, not swear on this one, but like, why are you there? Like, if you just are going to be like the same thing like at home, like,
well, that brings me to my point. This is the reason why I was just like, freaking Barbenheimer, was because the guy next to me was so bored during the movie, and it was so obvious to me. He was sitting right next to me, and he had his girlfriend there, and he was constantly like leaning over and whispering to her. He had his foot up, and it was constantly shaking. He was looking around the theater. Just
someone
most
who wouldn't see this movie normally.
Exactly.
Because of the internet phenomenon.
He
there.
Had to see it because it was Christopher Nolan and because of all the memes, so he had to go see Oppenheimer and Barbie. And it brought in this crowd that I don't think would Oppenheimer would have brought in a crowd normally. And I know I'm saying, like, this is the most, like, spoiled, like, dumb problem in the world, you know, that I'm complaining about. Ugh, this movie made too much money and brought in too many new people to the
people
theater.
People shouldn't have seen this.
Gosh dang it, the theaters are having a comeback. You know, like, that shouldn't be my mentality. Like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, awesome. It made a ton of money. It looks good on, like, this type of movie. So more of this type of movie will get made. Like, there's all these benefits of this specifically, but it drove me bonkers, this kid next to me.
That's got
to
be tough.
And then I'd like look around the theater too. The chairs that we're sitting in are not rocking chairs, but I've never seen anybody use those chairs as rocking chairs. But I looked around the theater at a certain point and there's so many people in those chairs just rocking. Back and forth and back and forth. And I'm just like, what is going on right now? You know, like,
so.
And maybe this says something to me that about me, that there was parts of the movie that I wasn't so enthralled in what was going on, that those things were catching my attention. But the guy next to me specifically, it's hard to miss when the foot is right in front of you, constantly moving up and down, up and down.
I always wonder about this. Is it that we've lost the etiquette because of like our time at home and just doing what the freak ever we wanted during movies, right? Because like I went to a movie since, you know, everything's happened over the past couple of years, and this dude shows up, like takes off his shoes and socks, and then like sits down, and then rolled his shirt up over his belly. In like the Cinemark, and
I started rubbing his belly button.
Yeah, his tummy was out, and I was just kind of like, "What a weird experience in the theater." But like,
you're like, if this is how you like to watch a movie at home, that's cool.
You should just
do it at home.
Yeah,
yeah.
But also, I'm wondering too, is exactly what you're talking about. Like, is it the FOMO? Like, oh, I went to both movies on opening day,
had to be a part of the event.
But is that a bad thing though? For the movie industry?
And this is the debate. Like, and there's so many, and like I have a list of awesome things that this movie has done. I mean, that the Barbenheimer experience has provided. You know, this is my one little like annoyed thing. But like the Barbenheimer memes, super creative, hilarious. For a month and a half, we got these things that were just like so much fun to keep up with. People dressing up that to go to the theaters that I guarantee have never dressed up in their life. Who probably, I mean, using my little circle of friends. Who were probably making fun of us 10 years ago for dressing up as superheroes and going to the Avengers. And they have their moment of now they understand, you know, this movie that like Barbie that connected them and made them want to dress up and have a good time in the theater. We've been so spoiled with that. We've been doing this for the last, how long have they been doing Marvel movies? 20 years, 15 years?
I dressed up for the Harry Potter releases.
Yeah,
I just want to highlight
that.
Like,
that was the last time,
I've been doing this for years. Like, mm-hmm. Harry Potter. Think about, like, Star Wars. Like, when they released Star Wars. So some of us have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And, like, when they bring it to an audience of everyone where it's kind of like, hey, we could all do this. Like, I'm Ken. You're Ken. You know, mm-hmm. I'm Barbie. You're Barbie. I could be Oppenheimer. You could be Oppenheimer. That sounds really crazy. But it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, like,
but I love this would be that. Fun. And your experience of like going there and people cheering and excited, like I love. I'm not a cheer in the movie either, but I love the camaraderie, the bringing people together,
excitement.
You know, like we haven't had that for a movie in a long, long time. It feels like so. There's a lot of positive things, and again, to the most important point, in an industry that's like. Really having a hard time bringing people back to the movie, it brought everybody back to the movie, which is awesome. So I can't complain, but I want to complain.
I think I saw a stat that said this was the fourth biggest box office weekend of all time.
Wow, all time?
Yeah. Is what I saw.
That's
so
impressive.
It's like fourth after like Avengers Endgame and like some of these huge blockbusters. So it's like, why are we complaining? Because you guys won't put your dang phones away. Like, I have to recreate that.
Because I have to find a problem out of nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Because it's 2023 and
memes,
I have to find an issue somewhere.
The memes are great, but I agree that because of the memes, some people went too far. They had their phones out and stuff and did things that are extremely distracting. This isn't really a spoiler. Obviously, a big part of Oppenheimer is when they detonate
the bomb,
an atomic bomb in the Trinity test, right? And these kids who had, from what I could tell, great seats, you know, because I had good seats, but they're a little closer to the front than I would have liked, you know. But these kids who had great seats, because I watched them walk back to their seats right before the bomb was going to go off, they walked down and walked into the front row in front of everyone and pulled their phones out like this so they could meme, be like, oh, I was in the front row for the explosion to get in my face and stuff like that. And it was like, oh, ha, ha. Like, I get that it's funny, but it was literally like
it's for that internet
the climax of the movie. And just, yeah, dude, it was.
It says at the beginning of the theater, please turn off your phones. Why do we feel like that's a recommendation and not a rule? Sorry, we can stop harping on this. I want to know how you guys actually felt about the movies themselves.
I don't know if the name of this podcast is going to be Barbenheimer or Turn Off Your Freaking Phones 2023.
The ultimate reel from this should literally be, or short or whatever, is like, stay off your dang phones in the movie theater. Like, it would be polite to everyone.
I'm definitely looking forward to, I'm going to go see Oppenheimer again because just that IMAX experience. Ugh, just so good. Theater shaking, literally. I was in a screening right next to the IMAX theater when I saw Barbie, and there were a couple times that you could feel, and I was like, oh, yeah, I know part of the
movie's
going
Your brother
out.
Called that out of the house. Shout out to Scott, who was on the podcast before, but he, like, told me, he's like, yeah, we could, like, feel the motion of the other movie.
You could definitely. And there's a meme that I showed him afterwards.
Is that the Spider-Man one?
Wasn't the Spider-Man one. Have either of you guys seen Asteroid City yet?
Yeah.
So it's like that moment where they're in the diner and it shakes and Jason Schwartzman's like, what's that? And he's like, another atom bomb test. And it's like people in Barbie when they're next to an Oppenheimer theater. And that was literally what happened to me. What's that? Another atom bomb test. Oh, it's so funny.
So you would go see Oppenheimer again. You did
I'm going to go see Oppenheimer again.
You are going
because the movie's really good. You know, I'm Christopher Nolan stan all the way crazy. But the IMAX experience of a movie like that is just something that I'm going to go see it. I have the chance to go see it, and I'm still already sad that there's going to be a point in my life where that's just not going to be, like, available. I mean, who knows? Crazy technology. Maybe one day I'll have those Meta glasses, and it'll be like I'm in the theater or something like that with the crazy sound system.
They would have to figure out how to... Because when the sound is like that, it's impactful. You feel it against you. And you can't get that with headphones.
Exactly. So, unless, you know, technology does its thing and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if we make it there. But
if it's good.
If it's good. But just thinking about not being able to experience this movie in IMAX again, like, makes me sad. Because I'll watch it at home, but this IMAX experience is just... different. It's so good. Filmed for IMAX, made for IMAX. I'm going to talk about a lot of different things that I think this should be nominated for, Oscars-wise. Sound design is right near the top of that list. The sound design of this movie was mind-blowing and incredible and impactful. It changes, because a lot of times people talk about sound editing and mixing, and they talk about, oh yeah, it keeps the flow of the movie going, and if you don't notice it, or just like stuff like that, like, it means that it's doing what it's mean. It's just pushing your emotions. You notice the sound so much in this movie in huge, impactful, and incredible ways that I can't talk about, not to ruin Casey's experience. You know what I'm talking about. If you've watched Oppenheimer, you know what I'm talking about. It's so, so, so good.
Yeah. Did you have any issue with understanding some of the dialogue, though, in classic Christopher Nolan fashion?
Parts of it, yeah. More towards, like, the beginning, not exposition, because he does an okay amount. He found a good amount of exposition this time, right? Because people talked about Inception having too much exposition. And then he did Tenet, and he's like, see what happens when I don't do enough exposition. Y'all don't know what's freaking going on. There was a good amount of exposition, but a lot of exposition, people talking to each other. There were sometimes I was like, I would love to.
Yeah, there was the captions times. On. I was okay, not too annoyed with it until the very end, the last line that he has with Einstein.
Oh, really?
I missed completely what he said. I didn't understand it, which I had to Google when I got home. I was just like,
well, that sucks. What happened? That's like, that's a huge moment.
Yeah, it was kind of a bummer. I was wondering if it was just me or if this is
because I got that line, but there were definitely times in the movie.
That's literally my only nitpick for the movie, though. I loved Oppenheimer. I thought it was so good. It's a 2.5 hour movie. I've been complaining about movies being 2-3 hours. I've been complaining about movies being too long, but I didn't feel like this one was long at all.
Here's the thing. My nitpick of the movie, the reason that this movie was 4.5 and not 5 stars for me was the length, actually. The length. And it's not because I don't think that Christopher Nolan could do a 3-hour movie. I think he could do a 3-hour movie. It's that last 30, 45 minutes or so, because there's like the kind of the Strauss stuff in that area is just, it's too long. And I feel like there's just too much space between certain events. So in non-spoiler fashion, I'll just say, like, because obviously the big boom happens, right? And then that one scene that happens after, right? Like, the auditorium thing, that was huge and amazing. And then from there until, like, the very last scene, it was like, I understood the Strauss stuff was going on.
Yeah.
But, like, just that was, like, it was too long of, like, because there's a lot of other stuff going on, so I don't know if the bomb and everything would be the climax, but it kind of is, you know, in that classic, like, you know what I'm talking about, right? It was just too long of a...
Epilogue?
Epilogue, just I getting falling right. Action.
When the pinnacle of the movie happens, like, it shouldn't be that long afterwards.
I'm not asking for the fastest wrap-up or anything, and I understood why they could to make some of those last scenes so impactful. Mm. And I did love Robert Downey Jr. Incredible. Yeah. One of the people who I think should get a supporting actor nom.
Yeah.
For this movie, but
I thought he was fantastic in the movie.
I just some of that final sequences, I was like, okay, this is kind of pushing it.
I get it
as far as it goes for me. So there's so much more thoughts? I wish I could talk about. Okay, I'll just say really.
Would
quick.
You like me to step out? I'm dead fine. No, out for that one
because I think we're about it. Like. I'll text Vince tomorrow. We'll message on Slack about some of the stuff I loved about Oppenheimer. Here's some things that I would love Oppenheimer to be nominated for. And a lot of these things are, I think people are saying, oh, 100%, like, going to happen. And some of them, not as much, okay? Cillian Murphy, best actor. I want him to win best actor.
Has he won before?
I don't think so.
Okay. He was incredible. He was so, so, so good. Christopher Nolan, best director. Oppenheimer, best feature film. Obviously. Cool.
Wow.
Best adapted screenplay, probably. I don't know if this would be adapted or original.
Based on a book, so.
It's based on a book. There you go. Best adapted screenplay, I also think would be perfect for this. Robert Downey Jr., best supporting actor. Emily Blunt, best supporting actress. I thought that she was incredible. This role, her character was not what I was expecting it to be, and I thought that she just nailed it. Like, you know, I love Florence Pugh, and she did great in the movie, and she was good. I thought Emily Blunt was stellar. I thought she was so good in this, and I would love to see her sneak into a supporting actress nom. This is one that I haven't seen as much people talk about, is Emily Blunt's performance, but I thought that she was so good. Sound design, sound mixing, score, Ludwig Göransson killing it. Sorry, Hans Zimmer, you have been replaced by this guy who used to do the music for freaking Community. Like, holy cow.
Oh.
He is so good. He's already an Academy Award winning composer.
He's a Swedish composer. And this guy, look at this guy, though. Have you seen what he looks like?
Yes. He's the one, I'm pretty sure.
Do you remember the Love Guru film?
I think he did Mando.
Mike Myers?
He did Mando.
He looks like the Love Guru.
He won an Academy Award for Black Panther.
That's right. That's what he did.
He did a score for Black Panther. So there's so many things that I want this movie to get nominated for. It'll probably get nominated for a ton. Also probably miss some of the ones that I want. Just this movie is incredible all around, and when this comes out, you'll probably still have a chance, even if not right by you, somewhere close to be able to see Oppenheimer in IMAX. Even if you can't see an IMAX, just in a regular movie theater. Just, this is a great movie theater experience. This is a great movie. One of the best that I've seen. Definitely one of the best movie theater experiences that I've had in a while. Just feeling the movie. Lack of CGI in the movie. Some of the stuff that I've read and videos that I've watched is crazy. They have all of these little sequences that show they're trying to simulate like chemistry, molecular level type of things happening, crackling, and these lights just flying across the screen. And what they've shown is incredible. Cause like you said, it like non-CGI type stuff. So what are they doing? They put like this fluorescent lighting and stuff on these ping pong balls, and they're flinging them across screens in ways that you could never, ever, ever tell that that's what it is. But it's looking like all of these little things, and just they cut into these sequences and stuff like that. And it's so, so, so cool. And the lack of CGI and the increase in the number of practical effects that Christopher Nolan does is amazing. I could talk a million years about Oppenheimer. Is there anything else that we wanted to say or anything you wanted to say about?
I think that sums it up pretty well. Like, I don't think, I feel the same way. I don't think I've had an IMAX experience like that since, like, Dune, probably, where it's just like you
could
feel
everything. Did you get the Dune
trailer
before? Yeah, oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
Holy cow. That's going to be a
So I was in gonna IMAX movie. I was gonna invite my parents up to see Oppenheimer with me again, but I don't know if I'll do that.
Wait, I know what you're talking about.
Because I think they'll really like it, but I don't really want to sit through those nudie scenes next to me.
All right. So
would you take your parents and or my mother to Barbie?
So what was really weird is I wanted at the end of this movie to take your mom to scenes of this movie.
I think that you would love scenes of this movie. My mom grew up on
Barbie. She loves Barbie.
Loves him.
Yeah. Right? And that's the thing, though, is this movie, and I just want to highlight this. So far, this is my movie of the year. I just will say that Barbie out loud. Is? Yeah. It was, I don't know if it's the state of mind I'm in right now or whatever, but I was like, holy crap, I felt this. And I felt like Alan in life. But it was
the amount of Michael Cera that we got in Barbie was the amount that I wanted him in Black Mirror. Like, because it wasn't too much where he overtook anything, but he was in there and he was hilarious every scene
this
that he
part
was in.
Was perfect.
And okay, don't get me wrong. Like, we'll talk about Alan right now because I feel bad. Like, we're talking about Barbie and the first thing we're talking about is Michael Cera. So, right?
Yeah.
But like, he was in it a great amount. He was hilarious.
Yeah. Very, very good. But I think what Barbie showed to me, at least, and this is going into a spoiler thing, is.
Don't go into spoiler.
Yeah, I'm not going.
That's what we're avoiding.
Yeah,
here,
that's why I was like,
it's
sorry,
like, I haven't seen.
I don't want to go into spoiler, but like, it's not what it seems, like what you expect, and that was the beauty of the whole show. It was kind of is that okay way to describe it?
I feel like I know what you're saying,
but like, cause like I think about Barbie and I just think about ridiculousness, and I know that that sounds kind of funny, and I love the themes that it provided and talked about, like, but it was not what I expected from this movie. And my brother, who is 20, he wouldn't tell us a dang thing about this movie. He's like, yeah, you're going to love it, but I'm not telling you anything about it. It's not what you expect. Margot Robbie. If I had two hands, the clap would be all the way there for you. It was amazing. The depth of her abilities and skills and her facial expressions, the whole dang nine yards. Oh, so good. And I don't want to derail from it. Also, Ryan Gosling performance of his career. I will say that, in my opinion,
Ryan Gosling was great in it.
Yeah, but like, I'd have to
remember more to say performance of the career. But he really does do an excellent job. He is hilarious. He does a good job. Has a very funny role in the movie with his character of Ken. And there's just some lines that he has that are.
He was built for this role. Like, it was.
He is perfect for this role. Right? Very, very funny. He talks a lot about horses, and that one near the end about horses is. A lot. He just, you know, as you can tell from the trailer, so this isn't a spoiler, you know, him and Barbie, they go to the real world. And so he just discovers a lot of stuff. And horses is something that he just kind of ends up loving.
He just loves horses.
Spoiler. So no more. That was borderline spoiler. Apologize. America Ferrera. Holy cow. She's a supporting actress. She's someone who's in the real world who you end up meeting. She was incredible. She was one of my favorite roles of the whole movie.
I cried a little bit in.
Oh,
so just to preface this, Vince, I cried 5 times in this movie.
Dang!
So just be aware.
I teared up at one point.
Yeah, like I said,
not like
it
saying
might be
like
my
that
emotional.
It was less, but like I like saying that it does have emotional moments as well.
Well, it's a powerful movie in the unexpected ways, and America Ferrera, right? That's how you say her name.
I guess that was my guess.
My first thought of her is Ugly Betty, which was when you and I were younger. Like, that was the big thing on TV. And so I was like, why the heck is she going to be in this? Like, what is she going to do? Oh, my freaking Lanta. It was great. And I'm trying to think of Kate McKinnon. Is that her name?
Weird Barbie?
Yep, that's it.
I think so.
Yeah, great role for her. Perfect for her personality. Every character. So I think we're talking about this earlier, kind of like people fit where they belong, right? In this movie, and the puzzle was beautiful. Have we given you spoilers more than you wanted to know? I'm hoping I'm not. I don't know, but like it was good. It was clever. It had so much actual. Like, the world of Barbie in this movie was built off of actual Barbie toys, and it was amazing to see how they put that into real life. I think it was cool.
Yeah, because we talked about when we were talking about Barbie before, when the first trailers released and everything that was happening, we talked about the lore behind it
and how they were really specific with, I think we talked about Midge, right? There was like a pregnant Barbie that Mattel had and they discontinued on how she was going to be in it. Alan, Ken's friend.
Sugar daddy. His
clothes fit and stuff like that. So all of this, like, so there's a lot of very meta humor in Barbie, which is one of my favorite and most endearing parts of it, is there's a lot of meta humor, which is good and bad. This also kind of leads into one of my critiques of the movie. I also love the movie. It was excellent. I'm pretty sure I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd. It was very, very good. One of my critiques of the movie was part of it felt kind of hollow to me. And I mean that in a couple ways. One, they have a few action sequences of running and chasing and stuff like that. And I don't know what it was, but something about these just felt, maybe it's because, you know, I watched Mission Impossible and all the other things that are so next level as far as those action sequences goes, that they were happening and I just wasn't as entertained when they were happening. I was like, okay, like I understand what the story's doing and this has to happen. I was like, this is whatever. I wasn't distracted, but I like wasn't as in it as I could have been, I guess. And then the other part that was hollow is there are times where Mattel is very self, you know, because Mattel is part of this movie and, you know, making it happen, the people who made Barbie and whatnot. Part of it is very self-aware, being like, hey, like, you know, we've always been trying to do good, but we've made mistakes in the past as far as all of these things that have happened. But part of it just feels like a brand trying to use this as a chance to self-correct image and stuff like that. And like I said, they do a very good job about not making it all about that. But there were a few times where it just felt, for me, transparently that.
It was very blatant.
Like, yeah. Way. Like I said, a lot of meta humor. And so a lot of like the meta part comes into it. And, but especially near the end, I kind of like let that part to the side. I was like, I understand what they're doing. And they're being very self-aware that stuff like this has happened. And they're trying to either correct or just kind of change the view, but not in a bad way where they excuse kind of past mistakes or other stuff like that, I guess. Either way, Barbie was very, number one, like I said, a very, very fun time. There are moments in this movie where I was very emotional, where I loved it. Just there's these piano-led melodies that happen, and you think about, even, you know, as someone who doesn't have to, you know, experience, who hasn't experienced, you know, the female experience in our world and those expectations that happen, just there are moments where it even just talks about the real life and what it means, or the real world and just what it means to be a human in general, sort of. And so there's just a lot of good things that happen in this movie, like, and with non-spoilers, that I think that everyone should see this movie. 100%. Like, I think that this is a good movie, both for just thinking about it, to have a good time. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a fun movie all the way around and has some things that are really important. Not necessarily like the newest like type of dive into issues when we're talking about stuff, but really fun, really smartly done. Greta Gerwig deserves a directing nomination 100%. One of the things I loved about this movie was that we can talk about non-spoilery because you can just see it from the trailers, is the production design.
Yes.
The set of this Barbie land that exists, just this perfect Barbie land. These dream houses, just because you think about, you know, you're going to see this movie and you know that it's going to have the Barbie aesthetic and the feel and just very pink and all that stuff. And it would be very easily for that to get overwhelming and too much pink too fast, even for a Barbie movie, right? And this movie does an excellent job. And the production design, the sets where they film these are just so beautiful. Because I've seen these behind-the-scene pictures. I was like, I wonder how much this is, like, not real and stuff. But these behind-the-scene pictures where you see Greta Gerwig just in smack dab in the middle of Barbie Land, I'm just like, what is happening? Because these sets are gorgeous. But it's also very self-aware of, like, hey, like, this house is beautiful, but it's a freaking Barbie house. One person's waving at another just from, you know, their freaking bed. Like, hey, because it's just pretty much like an open Barbie house, yeah, you know, type thing. And so there's a lot of really smart decisions to make it funny and make people say, hey, like, I know that Barbie, or, oh, I know this. And just, it could be a very, I could see it being a very nostalgic movie. Obviously, not obviously, but just, I didn't have a lot of experience with Barbies growing up. My older sister had some Barbies, and, you know, there's traumatic experiences with certain
Olympic Barbie.
Olympic swimming Barbie that she'll never forgive my mom for
giving away, but
I didn't really grow up with a lot of Barbie because I grew up in pretty much an all boy household, but I did have some cool Barbie beanbags at one point in time, and I have watched Barbie Swan like 40 times. Really quickly, in comparison, in addition to what you're talking about the set and how unique it is, I did want to highlight the soundtrack to this. It was amazing. I do want to highlight, even if you don't go watch the Barbie movie, Vince, just get on Spotify and listen to the soundtrack. It'll be a good time for you. Like, it's fun. And so, yeah, I would give it 2 thumbs up to go see. And that's 50% more thumb than I have, or 100% more thumb than I have. I don't know math. But anyhow, yeah, that's all I got on the Barbie movie. If I keep talking about it, I'll just go into spoilers. So
true. that's a tough part. It's Oppenheimer. I felt like we could talk a lot without going into spoilers because so much of it is based on historical events and whatnot. And Barbie, it's a little bit harder to do that. And so I agree that we were kind of skimming the line, and I would love to talk more about Barbie, but we'll avoid the spoilers. I will say that I'm keeping my own private list throughout the year instead of having to do it all at the end about my top list or top movies of 2023. And there's a lot of movies that are still yet to come out and stuff like that. But I think it would take kind of a crazy set of movies through the second half of 2023 to push this out of my top 10 is what I'll say.
I concur. Like I said, I think this is top movie of the year I've seen, and I haven't seen a lot of movies this year. But it was, like, I've seen plenty of new movies, but for me, I literally felt, like, impact. Like, that's an Oppenheimer reference that I didn't see. But I felt the heat, and it was good. But, yeah, any other thoughts, guys, before we close out this sesh?
Thoughts about Barbenheimer as a whole, keeping your phone off in the theaters, Barbie or Oppenheimer.
One third of this podcast, I think, is dedicated to turning off your phone in the theaters.
Yeah, might shorten that up a little bit.
No, I want you guys to know.
Don't do it. But, and you might have to shorten up what you've been watching. Sorry, but I forgot because I told Casey I was going to talk about him, but I didn't. I finished season 1 of The Bear. Super excited for season 2.
I actually restarted season 1 before I decided to go into 2. So.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I'm doing next week. Is
there you go. Watching. So good. See, well, I'll be watching The Bear then. There you go. I'm so excited.
We should do a podcast on The Bear then.
That'd be great. And then our buddy from work, Ryan, he's convinced me. I'm watching Formula 1 Drive to Survive on Netflix, and it's getting me. It's getting me into Formula 1. I want to watch it. So
Lionel Messi moves to
Inter Miami,
moves to our football league here, and you're like, I'm going to go watch Formula 1.
When am I going to go see Messi? He doesn't play in the stadium near us.
That's fine. Whatever.
Thank you very much.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Pause, Ryan, Play podcast. Join Josh in watching Formula 1 some other time, and join Vince in going and watching Barbie one of these days, and we'll catch you next time on the Pause, Ryan, Play podcast.